Red and ATL with Rachel Winder here.
I don't hear you. I don't hear anything in the mic.
Oh, that's probably because your microphone is not plugged in. Your headphones aren't plugged in.
My headphones aren't plugged in. All right. What am I?
Should I redo the intro?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you can just keep it like this. That's fine. I like keep it all natural.
Oh, natural.
I hear it now.
Red and ATL, Rachel Winder, coming to you live via iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Spotify,
SoundCloud,
and iHeartRadio. I already said iHeartRadio.
Screw this up every time.
Goodness. And I've messed up like the entire intro.
No, I like this intro. This is our best intro yet. I think so.
I should just cut it and use it for every show.
Yeah.
It becomes a new intro.
Reggie and Rachel and ATL.
So, Rach, you have now become a, well, first of all, let's not talk about your life first. Let's talk about Game of Thrones here. Okay. That's what we started with.
I have news. I've been saving it to tell you.
Okay. What is the news?
I saw Captain Marvel.
Did you? I know you liked it.
I liked it.
Oh my goodness, Rachel.
But I will say the like big twist at the end, I saw coming the entire film. And I think if it had been almost anybody other than Brie Larson, I wouldn't have liked it as much as I did. But Brie Larson could literally eat sand and I would give her an Oscar. So
would you really? An Oscar?
I love her. She's great. She's so talented.
Even eating sand.
I think she would make eating sand fascinating.
Wow. Yeah. Maybe you should pitch that.
I have her number. I'll text her.
See how that goes.
I'll send her an AIM message.
Are you excited? Well, you don't watch Game of Thrones, huh?
No, I've seen a bunch of episodes, but I didn't really like them that much.
Can you even piece them together in chronological order?
Yeah, like I've seen up almost season three. I think I saw, I'm 3/4 of the way through season two. It's just, I really don't like it. So it's hard for me to sit down and watch it.
I mean, well, listen, if you don't like a show, you're not obligated to watch it, right?
Tell my roommates.
In my opinion, if you, as a roommate, your only obligation is to be in the room.
I don't even have an obligation to do that. That's my choice. So I choose to do that.
You choose to be in a room. You don't feel like there's an obligation. They say, hey, Rachel, can you watch this show with us?
They wouldn't say, can you? They would say, hey, we're going to watch it. And then if I was like, oh, I'm going to be in my room doing whatever, they wouldn't care. But if everyone's hanging out together, I'll be part of it.
So it's like, isn't that like your family time?
We spent a lot of time together.
Really?
So,
doing what?
Watching television? I was late today because Christian and I went to go to Dogwood Festival, which I'd never been to. It was fun.
How was it?
It was all right.
I've never been to it, and it's like massive.
So most of the festivals in Piedmont Park are all the same for the most part, where it's like artisan crafts and like food that you can buy, and there's like maybe music playing, and there's some like, although for Dogwood, they put up a bunch of like rides. There was like a carousel and like swings. They put like
a
smaller
carousel.
Yeah, they put like amusement park rides in like the
did
second
you ride
park.
It?
No, it was like rainy this morning, so I don't even know if the rides were working. And we went grocery shopping today is mostly what we did.
Mm-hmm.
So we only spent about an hour at the Dogwood Festival, and Christian and I both really like look at like the artisan stuff. So he got like a lemonade, and then we just walked through the artisan stuff, and that was it. And then we walked back, and that's why I was late.
Listen. If being at a festival is what causes that lateness, I feel like that's appropriate, you know?
It's more than like what usually causes lateness for me, which is like I was napping.
Which is sleep. So how was production assistant? Like that's what a PA is, right?
Yeah,
it's production assistant.
Unless you're in like a nurse, then it's physician's assistant. But that's not what I'm doing.
Okay. So you're doing a production assistant. Yeah. And is that like full time? Now what's that schedule like?
I work 10 to 12 hours a day. And I have to get to Conyers, which is like 45 minutes outside of Atlanta.
Conyers. How did this whole thing come about?
So that's why I moved to Atlanta. Those of you who follow the show, and follow me on Facebook, just kidding. I hate social media.
That's our next show.
That's our next episode. I moved down here to work as a production assistant. And basically a lot of the filming, there's two big studios in Atlanta. There's Screen Gems, which is where they film like Stranger Things and a lot of Netflix stuff.
No doubt.
And that's in Atlanta. So that's easily accessible. As far as I know, I haven't been there, but I have a lot of friends who work there. There's another one that's, I don't remember where. It's called like Rosewood or something
Pinewood.
With an R. Pinewood. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
With an R, she said. and that's like, I don't know where it is, but that's like also 40 minutes outside of Atlanta. From what I understand, it's like in the middle of nowhere.
Pinewood is like, I've been there for my job, and we did the Avengers rap party there.
Yep.
And they were, where is that at? I'm not sure if that's like past Fayetteville or something.
It's
like
far.
That.
And from what I understand, like when you're driving to it, it's just like trees. You're just like in the middle.
Yeah,
of
security is crazy there.
And then a lot of other smaller productions have rent out warehouses in Conyers. I don't know why Conyers, but that's where it is. Because Conyers is like mostly warehouses. There's mostly like factories and businesses there. And then a bunch of empty warehouses. So productions tend to rent out. The two other productions I've worked on all were in Conyers.
Where was the first one when you first came down?
Superstition.
Here in
that was in Conyers.
In Conyers as well? Yeah. Really?
This is across the street from where I used to work. So I got this
job.
You
walked over there?
No, because it's not the same. It's owned by different people now. Because it was only a one season show. So once the show ended, somebody else bought it out or rented it. So I got this job because a friend of mine who I PA'd with was leaving this job because she was sick and was like, hey, I'm leaving. Do you want to finish up the show? I'm working on Doom Patrol, which is a show for the DC has their own streaming service now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a show on it. It's with Brendan Fraser and Matt Bomer and Diane Guerrero. I think that's how you pronounce your name. But it's cool. So I literally came in at the very end of the show. They did 15 episodes. I came in at the end of 14.
This is the first season,
but they already got another season. So
oh, really?
I might come back to work on that. We'll see how things pan out.
So what is your day-to-day life on it? Wait, first of all, DC, aren't you the comic person who does not like comic book movies whatsoever?
I like them if they pay me.
Touche. There's no need to expand on that.
Yep.
So what is your everyday life?
It's
like
very boring.
Is it?
Because I'm not a set PA, which would be cooler, but still boring. I am a set deck PA, which is like, so a lot of the filming takes place inside this mansion. So what it actually is in a warehouse where they created the inside of the mansion on like a stage, on a sound stage.
Nice.
So part of my job or part of my area of what set deck does is that they're like, okay, we need bookshelves in this room. We need, panels in this room. We need like, you know, a bedpost in this room. And we need this, like, it's about this, like the decorations that are on the set. So a lot of what my department does is like finds those at different, there's some stores like that specifically sell props and set deck to films.
Really?
Yeah.
And then that's all they do? Or they do that?
That's
and
like their
sell
main
like
job.
Other
and then,
stuff
and then
to
there's
the public.
Other places that are like antique stores. It's a lot of like antique stores.
Okay.
What
time period is it? Is it set in a certain period or something?
So the two time periods the show is set in is like the, well, kind of goes back and forth between, I think, the 50s, I want to say.
Oh.
And current day. So there's a lot of flashbacks.
Okay.
And like the 80s, there's a lot of flashbacks. So it's a lot of different time periods. But the main story focus is on current.
Okay.
But because I'm a production assistant, like my job is mostly just paperwork. So I get in at like 8 a.m, which is when I usually get in, which means I have to wake up around 7-ish.
No, man.
I got to be out by my house at like 7:30.
Are you a morning person?
No.
So then you basically just stay up all night.
No, now I'm sleeping, actually.
Are you serious?
Because I'm so tired. I'm working 12. I'm working 10 to 12 hours a day. I come
home
and I fall
asleep. That's good, though, right? Being able to actually have a pretty decent sleep schedule.
Yeah, and I have weekends off now, which is great, which I haven't had in forever because I used to work in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. So you had to quit your restaurant.
I did, because there's no way to work both. It's just too many hours.
Okay.
So I get in around 8 on like a Monday. I get in, and the first thing I'm probably going to do is like look at Crafty, which is like essentially snacks that we have for the office and like what needs to be refilled. And then I'll go to Publix. Restock it, come back. There's probably some paperwork for me to fill out. I have to do the like timesheets for everybody. What time people came in the last week.
So you're like
before.
Craft services, a bookkeeper. All right. And what else?
A bookkeeper is like still probably not like, I don't even do that. Like it's literally my boss gives me paperwork that's already filled out and I just have to make copies of it and then send it. And then at the end of the day, I keep one copy and I keep it organized in our files. The other copy I bring to accounting so that we can get reimbursed for checks. And then sometimes I'll have to go drive somewhere and like go pick up a deposit check from somewhere. Or one time I had to go on set and like take photographs of all the paintings. And then I had to
on the set like where they're placed at. So that for like
for continuity purposes, okay. I'm not in the production office, but the office that I'm in is connected to the sound stage. So it's like down a hallway and there's the sound stage. But it's pretty boring. It's really not glamorous. I haven't even met.
You said it's really not glamorous.
I haven't met the actors. We literally had a wrap party and I went to it and I still didn't meet the actors. So
what'd you do?
I took my roommate and I hung out with some of my friends that like, you know, my friend works in locations. I hung out with her.
Mm-hmm.
It was at like some club in Buckhead. I don't remember. I mostly ate food. There was food and I ate it. And that was mostly,
that's mostly what I do. The highlight? Is that what you do throughout your day?
Eat. Yeah. I love eating.
So then is it for anybody looking to get into the production assistant business? What's exciting about it?
It's a great question. The people you meet are really cool. I've met a lot of people at a lot of different departments.
Or what would keep you coming back to something like that?
The pay is pretty good.
Is that it?
Well, theoretically you can work as a PA and build yourself up to a higher job. So the girl who I took over her position, she was offered a better job as a production coordinator, which is like a higher level job. And theoretically you can work higher and higher and higher. But at the same time, my friend Aiden is a PA and he's been a PA for like 2 or 3 years now. And he wants to
work. Is that the Aiden that you like really liked?
Yeah.
I remember.
I don't know if we've said his name like that on the podcast, but he doesn't listen to it. So
that's a situation where I recall what you say.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed by myself there.
I'm impressed by you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So you say your friend Aiden, he's a PA as well.
Yeah. And he wants to work.
Did you meet him kind of like in that situation?
We met being a PA. Okay. We were both the office PAs of Superstition. And he wants to work as like a DP, which is like the director of photography, which is like the person that holds the camera. And it's like a really important job. But like, I don't think
Is that like a cameraman?
Cameraman, basically. Yeah. Your DP is your cameraman.
Okay.
But you're also a big part of the vision of the film. You work closely with the director.
So do they do any of the editing?
No, you wouldn't do editing, but you work very closely with the director. The director's going to be like, this is what I want the shots to look like. And then it's your job as a DP to be like, to get those shots.
To try to get it, realize that vision type situation.
To realize that vision or to be like, oh, well, what if we did this shot? Or I have a cool idea. It depends who the director is. Because there's some directors that, especially a lot of first time directors, that half of your DP's job is directing because you just don't really know what you're doing.
Mm.
And then it's like when you're working with your DP, a cameraman works very closely together. It's the vision is like them and then the writer. The three of those probably work most in terms of like, what is this going to look like?
Are they all on set at the same time?
It depends. I was recently
on the show or like, is it the same structure for shows and movies?
On like a really professional show, the writer's probably not there.
Okay.
Maybe in a movie, the writer might be there, but like a really you have a bunch of writers. That's the thing for like a TV show. You have a bunch of writers and maybe occasionally they'll come on set, but they're not there every day. They're in the writing office writing.
Okay.
Because you probably have 15 episodes that you have to get done in a week.
And that's already done then for whatever you guys shooting. They're probably on to the next thing.
Yeah.
As far as
if we're shooting episode 2, they're probably working on episode 5 or 6.
I see. Okay. That makes sense.
But on like an indie project, a short film or an independent film, if the writer isn't the director, which happens a lot of the time, then they'll probably work very closely together. But that depends. It depends how much the director wants to work with the writer.
So you're a PA, is being like a DP looked at as climbing? Is the
PA,
is the PA like the lowest on that totem pole when it comes to that?
Well, there's PAs in every department, but in that department, you're the lowest.
But it's at least a way in though, right? You can be on set.
That's the thing. Well, it depends if you're a set PA, but that's a harder job to get.
Why?
A set PA. Because everybody wants to be a set PA because a set PA is a good entryway into the other fields that people want to be in.
I see.
Most people don't dream of being a production coordinator, which is like the set deck coordinator, which is like what my boss is.
Okay.
That's not like a big dream that a lot of people have. A lot of people want to be DPs. They want to be, you know, producers, or they want to be whatever X, Y, and Z. Like the smaller jobs is not usually, lots of people are grips for a living. That's like what they do. And that's like a lighting person.
Mm-hmm. So when I see the word key grip,
that's a lighting person.
That's a
key light. So the key is light. Like the type of light. It's like where the light is. When you're working on a project, there's three types of lights, I believe. Don't fact check me on this because I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I went to college a while ago. But there's a backlight, which lights like behind the person.
Mm-hmm.
And then two key lights that light from the side, I think.
So backlight and then the two key lights from the side.
I think I might be wrong.
So the key grip is just
it's just a name for a light, yeah, for the person in charge of the light.
Okay, learning
and there's
a lot
lots
today.
Of people who do that for a living, and like they're very happy doing that for like a lot of younger people. But that would also be like, if you want to be a grip PA, that's a great way to get into being a key grip. Like, it's a great way to move up.
I see.
But it's hard. Like, Aiden's been working as a PA for like 3 years and he's not really, I don't think he's much closer to being a DP. I don't know.
So what happens?
I don't think
because
he's not even
move.
In the field.
How do you make that move? Is it like
it's
just knowing
about,
somebody?
It's all about getting, like, literally this last job I got is about who you know.
Right.
It's all
that's
about
true.
Who you know. So a lot of, if you do get a job as a PA, which is hard, people think that getting a job as a PA is easy. It's not. It's difficult. I know so many unemployed PAs that will do anything. I didn't want to be an office PA. I didn't want to really be a set tech PA, but that's the job that I got. And like, well, you know, I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, facts.
But it's really hard to get a PA job. And then once you do get it, it's all about talking to people and who you know and making friends so that somebody will be like, oh, I know a PA who I can recommend, and hopefully it'll be you.
So how do you get good at that job to where you get that kind of recognition? Is it just making sure you have attention to detail type situation, or is it showing up?
It's really not. I mean, it depends. So my last boss, I had two women that were my bosses, and they were really anal about things being done in a very specific way. And they were very, very organized.
Okay.
And it was really hard for me to feel like I didn't do a good job on that set. Aiden did, because he knows how to do things. He's a great PA. Mm-hmm. He knows how to do things exactly to the way that they want. Mm-hmm. That's just who he is. I am not an organized person. It's really hard for me to stay organized, especially organized to a certain way that people want.
Yeah, I can get that though.
That's not who I am.
Because
that.
Like, you got to really kind of think like them or be in some kind of sync with
right.
with their line of thinking to make that happen. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not an organized person. Like, it's just not who I am. The person that was my boss now, isn't a very organized person and doesn't really, as long. And then there was a PA before me who was subbing in for the other girl when the other girl was sick. And she basically did, for whatever reason, such a terrible job that all I had to do was show up and be like, okay. And they're like, oh my God, you're great. So it depends. And even if I hadn't, like, this woman wasn't that organized. She didn't care if I was organized too low. I would ask her things and I'd be like, oh, when do you need this done? She's like, I don't care. Just get it done. Like, whereas the other people would be like, I need it done now. I need it done like this. I need you to call them this and this time and this time. And they would be like, I need you to text me when you, if I had to go pick something up, it would be like, to be fair, I didn't have a car. So that was never my job. But like, it was Aiden's job that, like, if when he had to go pick something up, he would text them when he got there. He would text them when he had it. He'd text them when he was on his way back.
Really?
Yeah. My boss is like, okay, go get lunch now. She should be like, oh, you should probably get lunch in like the next 30 minutes. I'd be like, okay, cool. I go to get lunch. I come back. That was it. Or like, I had to go drive from Conyers to Atlanta to pick up a bunch of stuff. And I went to like three different stores. And then my old bosses would have been like, text us every time you get to the store and every time you're going to another store.
Really?
I was gone for like 2 hours and I just came back. And my boss was like, cool, you're back. Like, it depends who your boss is. It depends what department you're in.
And you have a preference towards the second, the one that you're working with now.
Yeah, she likes me better.
She has a preference towards
you.
I
feel like I'm doing better of a job. But being a PA is really boring. It's a lot of downtime, especially like, right. It just depends on right now, the project I'm working on, the show I'm working on, it's just really disorganized for whatever various reasons. Like, a lot of the stuff isn't where it's supposed to be. And we're setting up for season two. So things have to be put in lockup and like organized so that come season two, they'll be ready. And for whatever various reasons, there've been a lot of like boss changes. Basically, there's been a lot of job switches. Things are just not where they're supposed to be.
Do people not sign on for like contracts for that kind of stuff?
No, because if they get another job, they're going to leave.
No doubt. I see that.
If they get a better job where they get more pay or where they can have a higher job, like, you know. Mm-hmm. So because of that, things aren't where they are supposed to be. And there's not much I can do until my boss. And so like, what my boss is doing right now, she's looking through to make sure, you know, our database, to make sure everything's in the right place. And I just can't. I'm not logged onto that database. I don't have access to it.
Right.
So I'm just sitting around waiting for like
waiting
paperwork.
For her right. to tell you like
so
what
like
your next task.
I'm watching movies right now at work.
That's not a bad job. I'm not sure if
no,
you guys are hiring.
I don't
have any
feel...
PA experience, but I have a lot of movie watching experience. It's,
oh, okay.
It's great.
I just don't feel like I'm doing anything. Like, I'd rather be doing something, but.
For how much of the period of the day though? You say you're there like 10 to 12
so
hours.
So right now I'm really not doing a lot. Right now, there's like maybe all in all 2 hours when I'm doing something.
So you're there 10 hours of movie watching time.
It's
2 hours
of movie watching time.
So then about 10 hours total then.
Yeah.
So not not 12.
Right. That depends if it gets busier, but right now it's not busy, so I'm not doing 12.
So even if it did get busier, you still got a solid 8 hours of movie watching time, no matter what. That's kind of baked into your schedule.
Yeah. Occasionally there's like, go do this thing, go run. I mean, I want to make myself busy, so I'll be like, okay, we're out of this thing. I'll go run to Publix to do it or whatever. But
are you in like an office setting? Or are you like, what setting?
We're in an office.
Okay. You know, so I see what you were saying. Like not being as exciting even as being on set or seeing any of the actors or anything like that.
And right
that.
Now they're wrapped. They're not even filming anymore. So there's nobody on set.
So
what they're doing on set is taking down the
set.
Yeah.
All right. Are you going to watch the show?
I've watched the show because some of it, half of it's already out. Okay. Doom Patrol is out on the DC. It's not for
no,
me.
No, here we, well, you know what? Let's say this.
The last
that
episode
was very
I watched,
nice because you're very consistent.
Yeah, the last episode I watched was okay, but my roommate loves it. He's watched all of it. I watched it because I had to, sort of, because they want you to know what's going on. They want you to read the script so that when you say, oh, I have to get this prop for episode 14, scene 7, you can look it up and be like, oh, this is that prop. Okay, I understand what it's for. But if I wasn't working on the show, I wouldn't be watching.
So I'm going to ask a really dumb question because I'm not in this industry. And despite my movie watching skills, which I feel like should get me a job as a PA.
That won't do it. No. Reggie, there's no dumb questions, just dumb people.
Okay. So then the scenes, when they change, how do you know that it's scene 7?
It says in the script.
Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're learning here.
Scripts are broken up into scenes.
So then you don't, when you're watching a show, can a scene be just when they turn to a different,
like a different location,
different setting?
Yeah. If they move from like, well, yeah, if it's a different scene, it's a different setting, it's a different scene. Unless it's like really all one camera movement, which is like, you know, the camera watches the characters as they walk through the halls. That might be one scene. But if it's, yeah, the moment you're in a different setting, it's a different scene.
Oh. And if it's one camera, it's one scene? Or can one camera be two scenes?
You could have multiple. So like a shot is what you see when you're looking at a camera.
Okay.
So like if there's, you know, if you're seeing a wide shot of two people sitting at a table, that's a shot. Mm. And then you go to the close up of one of them, that's another shot. So theoretically in a scene, you want to have multiple shots because you want to get every angle, not every angle, but you want to get multiple angles.
So do some shows have like different cameras? And some shows have just one camera.
There's multicam. Yeah, there's multicam and there's single cam. So multicam would be like a sitcom. So the way that a sitcom is filmed is that you have two cameras, two or four, it depends, on the different sides, and then it's shot like a play. So the actors just run through it.
The whole thing.
Probably not the whole thing. Probably like a scene. Mm-hmm. Well, they might do the whole thing. I'm not sure. I think they usually shoot it. So from what I understand of a sitcom is that you do an episode a week. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday would be rehearsals.
Okay.
And then Thursday, Friday, especially if you have like a live audience, are actual shooting days.
Wow.
So you probably break the script up into 2 days and then you shoot it. Yeah.
Okay. And then for movies, what do they do?
Movies is very different. So movies is single cam, which is like you don't see it in the, it's not shot like a sitcom where you see the whole stage the whole time, where you see the whole room. Mm-hmm. It's shot in a single cam, which is like it's looking at a specific location and you're seeing what it's looking at. You know, if it's the camera's placed over the shoulder of one actor so that you see the other person's face from that perspective.
You're right.
That'd be single cam. And then it's not usually shot in order. It's usually shot based on location and actors.
Really?
So like what?
And then put in order later.
Yeah, and then put in order later. So if you have, you know, a scene on a boat and then at the end of the film, you have another scene on the same boat and it's a flashback or they're just back on the boat. Mm-hmm. You'd probably shoot those. Not necessarily in the same day because it takes a long time to shoot very little.
Why is that?
It just takes, because setups take a long time. It takes a long time to set up between, like lighting takes a long time. There's just a lot of setups basically.
So
setting up the camera
the
and the lighting.
Setup and shooting time is minimal.
When you're shooting is way minimal. Yeah. That's why actors have trailers so they can go sit somewhere while they're doing setups.
Really? Wow.
Because actors are not expected to do that much work.
It's a great field to get in. Once again, I am available.
I'm an
actor,
I have
never
so
acted
I
in
can
my
say
life.
That.
But that's it sounds very interesting to me. So getting towards the end of this episode, I want to talk about what happened to your, didn't you have like a movie or short film type situation?
Right.
What happened to that?
So
you're writing with your friend Danielle, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we are in the very, very final stages of that, which we've been saying forever.
Okay.
We
You got to get a new editor, right?
To get a new editor, okay. And then our production team broke up.
What do you mean? The two girls?
The two girls aren't working together anymore, and it's like a divorce. It's like contentious? Really messy. Oh, they were talking about lawsuits
against each other.
Yep.
I mean,
and luckily they worked that out, but
it's awkward.
It's awkward, and it's made the problem. It's made it hard for everyone to work together. I got an email from one of the girls the other day being like, so you guys are going to be our last project that we're working on, but you're going to be working with her. Basically, the one of the Kellys was like, just to make things easier, you're going to work with the other Kelly, and so I'm going to take a step back.
Basically, she gets the kids in the divorce.
And now we're having this whole issue because the very last step is that a colorist takes a look, and they just basically brighten up the colors to make it look really high quality. And we have not been nor Danny, nor I, nor the Kelly that we're working with has been working with the colorist. That was the other Kelly. And then once the other Kelly bounced, we haven't heard from the colorist.
Really?
And none of us have their contact information, and none of us know if they got paid. And we've been trying to contact the other Kelly to get that information and haven't heard back.
How long has it been since the correspondence? Like,
totally been a couple of days from that correspondence.
Okay.
But we've all called her and she's not answering. So
yeah, that's not a good sign.
Not a good sign. And even if we don't end up using this colorist, they put in time and effort, and we want to make sure they get paid. That's my biggest concern, is like, I don't want this person being like, oh, this production company or these two girls or whatever sucks because they didn't pay you. She or he, I have no idea, put in work, and I want to make sure that they get compensated. She or he. No idea. I don't know their name. I don't know. I know that they're the colorist.
You have no leads.
No leads.
That should be the theme of your name. If you do another short film,
no leads.
It should be that. No leads and about finding this colorist.
Maybe
a documentary or something like that.
The acting community that I'm part of, where I do my self taping, is called Nova House. And we were teamed up with a organization called Film It for Fun, which is about creating indie works in Atlanta. Because basically there's not that much independent filming here. There's not a lot of writer's room here. There's a lot of companies that come and film here, like Marvel Films down here. They bring their production down here, but none of the pre-production is down here. So none of the writers, none of the producers, like there's nothing being grown here. It's just brought here to be filmed. So we want to create an independent filming community down here so that if basically all the filming is down here because of the tax incentive,
nice.
But the tax incentive can move tomorrow. The tax incentive can be cut and gone tomorrow, and all of the filming will leave Georgia.
Really?
Oh yeah. That happened in South Carolina. That happened in New Orleans. The tax incentive was gone. Everyone just left and everyone just flocked because everyone will go where the filming is, where the cheapest filming is. It's happening in New York. New York is losing their incentive, I think.
Really?
And people aren't filming there anymore. Except for the people that have to.
Atlanta, let's go ahead and step it up. Let's keep it.
Well, there's people that are trying to get rid of it because they don't want all these people coming in. It's the same people that don't want the MARTA to go. It's the snobby.
That doesn't make any sense. That ain't Gwinnett. Like, they didn't want the MARTA, because I heard in Gwinnett, they voted it down because they're like,
oh, we don't want the homeless people coming around. And I'm like, yeah, think about people other than yourself.
That take trains. So yeah.
Honestly. This company teamed up with, they're not a nonprofit yet, but they're working to get their nonprofit. What's the word? Title.
Mm-hmm.
So, Nova House teamed up with them and they wanted writers to submit scripts, and Danny and I wrote a script together, and then I submitted a script on my own, and actually they picked my script.
Oh, very nice.
Thank you. And I was working with them for a while on that. And then the woman who ended up directing it is this woman named, Erica Arvold. She's a big casting director in town.
Is she?
She cast it.
And what's her name? Erica
Arvold. Okay. She casted that show Turn, which was like about the Revolutionary War, which was on AMC, I believe.
Okay.
She casted a season of Homeland. She casts House of Cards.
Love that show.
She casts a bunch of stuff.
I got to watch that last season. I don't watch it. You never watched any of it?
No. I watched the first episode and I was very bored.
Quality television. That's quality television.
I know. That's what I hear. I tried it.
Can't all be friends.
I tried it, man. You know? Can't all be friends. She got season 10 of Friends. So the script is about a mother-daughter relationship, and she has a teenage daughter. So she really felt for the script. She felt really connected to it, and she directed it, and her and I worked really closely together, and she was super, she really wanted me to be involved. She wanted this is like, doesn't usually happen that the director wants you to be in this involved, but like You know, we'd be watching the camera and watching the shot and watching the actress, and she'd be like, okay, what do you think of that shot? And I would give a suggestion. I'd be like, oh, I think she should be more this way. And she'd be like, oh my God, you're right. Or she would say, oh, I see what you're saying. I like it this way, but let's do a shot of it anyway and see which one we like better. And, you know, when we edit it, we'll decide. She's very collaborative. And that was amazing. I had never experienced. They didn't cast me as the lead, which is what I wanted, but they ended up casting.
Is this in the script that you wrote?
Yeah. This happened in the last month or so that we filmed this.
You wrote the script and you had yourself as the lead and you didn't get the part in your own script.
Which is, it was awful. No, that week. So there was a week mid process where we were doing auditions and I was rewriting the script. There were so many rewrites on the script. It made me furious. Where they changed the ending and I didn't like the way they basically the director was like, I want the ending to be like this. And she was coming from the perspective of the mother, which is why I understand why she did it. But I wrote it from the perspective of the daughter and I liked how the ending was. And basically she was like, why do you like the ending? I explained it to her and she was like, okay, I see that because of the way that we're seeing the characters. And it's a short. So you have to get a lot done in a short. It's an 8-page short. It's going to be about 10 minutes. You have to get a lot across in 10 minutes.
So you wrote this script when you write it, it's an 8-page. Yeah. Are you trying to make it more concise when you're doing your rewrites? How does that?
Rewrites are, yeah.
Or location rewrites?
It's not location rewrites. It was just, it was a lot of small things. There was not a lot of big changes except for this changing at the end, which made me furious because I didn't know how to make the ending that I want in a way that they liked. And I didn't want to just write the ending they wanted, but I had a deadline. And so it was like the day that it was due and I was at my wit's end and I was like, I don't know how to make it, how to make both parties happy. I don't know how to make myself happy and make them happy. I don't know how to change it in a way that everybody will be happy. So I just wrote the ending they wanted. And it was like the worst feeling I've ever had. Not the worst feeling, but it was not a good feeling.
It's not the compromise you wanted.
I wasn't compromising. I literally wrote something that made me unhappy to make them happy. And then the next day I came up with a solution and they were like, well, we already submitted the script. It's the final script. Like we've already sent it to the people doing costumes. We've already sent it to this person and this person, like that script is done. And I was fighting with them about it and it made me really angry. And this was the same week that we had auditions. And basically what happened was that because it's a mother-daughter audition and we were only doing auditions from actors in Nova House, because the point of teaming up with Nova House is more so than using the writers, is using the actors.
Okay.
Because it's an actor community. So it was a lot about like, who do we have to pair together mother and daughter? And the woman who was supposed to be my mother got cast in something. So she didn't show up or she couldn't show up. So I didn't even really get a call back. And it wasn't because of my acting. It was just because we didn't have
the mother.
So they couldn't see me. Like there was nobody to pair me with.
Okay.
So we ended up choosing. And the women we ended up choosing were great. They did a really good job. I got to be in the room to see them audition and they did a good job and I saw why they got cast and it wasn't like bad about me. It wasn't like I did a bad job.
So when casting directors make this decision and being that you had wrote this script and just in a small way here, but also in a larger way for like bigger films and shows, is it a situation where the writers, do they get any say on that or do they kind of give all of that to the casting director and let them do everything?
Well, the casting director was the director because she is an actual casting director. Mm-hmm. And it was I think everybody in the room had agreed that they were the best ones. So I wasn't in a place to, even if I didn't feel like they were.
Is that how it usually works though? Like,
no, it's actually not the casting director's decision in a normal audition. Mm-hmm. Normal audition, a lot of times they're self-tapes now because that's just easier.
Yeah, I agree. I can see why that would go that direction.
So people will send in tapes and then the casting director will pick the best one from them and then submit them to the director.
I see.
And then it's the director's decision.
So his final say on any casting decision is always the director.
The director. Yeah.
Really? So is the director the person that has in like the most
it's power? The director. So I wrote the script, but it's the director's short.
Oh.
So it'll be my script, but it'll always be the director's short. She's very, very collaborative. So I think I said that to her and I said like, well, it's your short. And she was like, no, it's our short. And we're literally talking about submitting it to festivals. And I was like, well, you know, it's about what you want to do. And she was like, no, it's about what we want to do. She's awesome. She's amazing. I don't know what I was saying. Sorry, the train left the station.
You were going so well.
I know. And this always happens. My brain just like, my brain pieces out.
Well, we were talking about the process of where your film was at. And
right. So the same week I was dealing with not getting cast in a project that I wrote that was essentially a younger.
Was this when the colorist situation was happening too? No, no, is no, all no. this happening at the same
no,
time?
No, no. That project's a, That project was kind of almost put on hold because there was a while where I was like, what's happening? Everybody was like, we don't know. And I was like, okay.
And then we're going to go do other stuff. Literally. And come back.
Well, I couldn't focus on We Should Hang Out more because I was focusing on the short. So it was one week where it was the same week where I didn't get cast in a project that I wrote for myself, about myself. I didn't get cast as a younger version of me.
Which would have liked there were 12, by the way, because you already look young. So a younger version of you is like, what?
Well,
like
she wasn't 12. 11? She was 16.
Oh, okay.
But no, it was so awkward because we were at the audition. We were waiting outside of the audition room and it was me and a couple of younger people. And then the mothers were there too. And the day before we had a meeting at Nova House where it was like a meet and greet with this other casting director. And in it, Jillian, who's one of the producers of the short and one of the owners of Nova House, was like, oh, I just wanted to let everybody know that like Rachel wrote the script and we're picking it and everybody applauded. It was really nice. And then one of the women who had been there was auditioning for the mother. So we're all waiting in the waiting outside the audition room. And none of the other girls know that I'm the writer. And this one woman goes, didn't you write it? And all these other girls who are auditioning for the role look so uncomfortable. Because it's like, well, yeah, they're obviously going to give it to the writer. She wrote it. Why is she even auditioning?
Right. You got a leg up.
And then it was awkward because we did the audition at Nova House and the doors don't completely shut. So Jillian pulled me aside after we did the first auditions and was like, look, it's not because of you. It's just because like the other woman's not here, but we're not going to cast you. Everybody could hear it and it was so uncomfortable. And
so
then,
where does Rachel go after that? Does
so
she walk
then
back
they,
out?
So then
the
they said to me, but we want you to be in the room because we're going to be doing the callbacks and we want you to see the other people audition and we want you to be part of the decision. And I was like, okay, I was putting on a really cool face.
That's a way to mitigate the damage.
In my
though.
Heart, I was like, okay. And then in real life, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to be a part of it.
Way to put a business face on.
Honestly. And I had to go back into the waiting room to get my backpack.
That's what I was asking.
And I
like,
literally
where
had to
go
back. I had to
that.
Go back in and be like, and grab my backpack and be like, okay, guys, see you in there. And it was awful. It was awful. And then this was the same week where I had written them the ending that they wanted. And they were like, well, this is the ending now. I was so depressed.
Emotionally draining.
I drank
week.
So many green teas. I got to tell you.
Did you get your gallon of green tea
going? I got
going?
A couple. It was really rough. I was so depressed that whole week. It was really hard. And then I talked to my friend AJ, who's one of the other owners of Nova House, who's also a writer and an actor. And I talked to him about it. I was trying to talk to all these people. I was talking to Danny about it and she wasn't really giving me what I wanted.
What did you want?
Well, what she gave me was like, she was kind of like, Rachel, like you have this great opportunity. Like, yeah, it's so hard when they want to change your script to the script that's going to be produced by a professional team.
I do
by like
this
casting director.
Problem, so.
No, very much so. And I literally was like, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't be complaining. I had this great opportunity and I'm frustrated because it's not going. Here's how I felt about the script. The script that I handed in was good. It was really good. The script that we could have done could have been great.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt about it. So it's just frustrating thinking that it could have been better. But that's always going to happen, I feel like.
Right.
But I don't know. It didn't really make me feel better. It made me feel like, okay, why am I complaining about these first world problems? And then I talked to AJ about it and he was like, he basically said that like, yeah, this is part of filmmaking. Part of filmmaking is like, it's also going to be different when they film it because it's going to be different than the way it was written.
That's got to be frustrating though.
Yeah.
Right.
What he was saying is like, I understand where you're coming from. I've experienced this before. It sucks. It's a painful process to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And then what he said was like, what you don't want to do is fuck shit up because you don't want to be the one that like, you don't want to be remembered as the writer that couldn't get like, just let it live. You couldn't,
right,
the writer
so rigid that,
that
you
that
were,
you don't want to, he said to me like, you don't want to say it's this script or nothing.
I agree.
Because like, that's not what you want. And I was like, you're totally right. I was never going to be like, oh, fuck this. If we're not doing the script that I want, we're not doing it.
Right.
But
it was still frustrating.
It was really frustrating. And I understand how privileged I am to have gotten this opportunity and I'm so grateful for it. And then in the end, it ended up being an incredible opportunity. Like it ended up being a great project. When my parents called me, cause they knew I was going through this. And then they called me the day after we were done shooting and they were like, how did I go? And I was like, honestly, it was great. The crew was great. The actors did a great job. The shots looked incredible. I'll have trouble imagining that this isn't going to come out amazing. Not because of the way I wrote it, even just because like Erica did a great job directing it. She saw for the most part all the same shots that I imagined in my head. And for the ones that she saw differently, I saw them and they looked great. And she has some great ideas and it went really, really well.
Okay. So then so at least
you, it ended up being a great experience.
All's well that ends well, right?
Do I wish that we had done the script that I wanted? Yes.
And you got casted in it?
Yes. double yes. Because what ended up happening is we had a meeting after the casting session where we were just going over everything. And I was like, and I took Erica aside and I was like, look, I wanted to be acting in it. And unfortunately that's not how it's going to be, but I'd love to shadow you as a director. Awesome. And she was like, I'd love that. I'd love to pick your brain about the script. I'd love to work with you very closely. And I was like, great, let's. And then we literally sat down at one point where we were filming and we were waiting for them to set up the lights, which is 80% of filming is waiting for them to set stuff up. And she was talking to me about it. And she was talking about how excited she was to submit it to festivals. She was talking about how she wants to see more things that I write. At one point she was like, oh, I knew this woman who used to be the showrunner for 90210 back in the day. I want to introduce you to her. Cause she's working on this project that I think you would be great for. Like, she was incredible.
Really?
Oh my God. She was so great. And who knows what's really going to come up with of it, but I do have a lot of faith in the project and I think it ended up being really good.
So when do you see the finished project? How long does it take for that to come
Erica's
to fruition?
Supposedly we're supposed to be editing it in the next month. We're having trouble finding an editor right now. But I think that'll get sorted out. And Erica's out of town for the moment, so we're waiting for her to come back.
So when you have editors that you might have for one film, mm-hmm. do people use them for other films? Do you like to try to get different editors for different films?
I would love to submit my editors for this project, but they don't have as many credits. They don't have a lot of professional credits, like working on actual TV shows and actual films. And like the stuff that they've done is great. And I might recommend them. I might be like, hey, we'll take a look at these guys because they're doing a great job.
Mm-hmm. Cause you can always look at what they've done to get to get a better feel.
But more professional production companies and productions want to have more professional editors. And it's not that they're not doing a great job. They're just in really early stages.
Okay.
So
how do you get your shot then? If you got to have, you know, it's a whole, like yeah, you got to have experience,
right?
You have to have experience.
The same thing as acting. They want to audition people that have credits, but you can't get credits without getting cast. You can't get cast without having credits. It's
right.
Catch-22.
So how So then at least you could submit them, right? You can let them know. And then maybe they choose, maybe they don't. You kind of done your job at that point, right?
For sure. I'll definitely do that. And that's what I can do. And maybe they'll get picked. It's hard. Yeah.
So then that's in the editing phase. And then the other one,
we're almost done. We should be seeing the final cut. I keep saying next week, but it keeps getting pushed back. So I don't know.
Next week was like, it was quite some time ago.
It was a couple months ago.
It was in some earlier episode. We were supposed to be having
our premiere in January and then we were supposed to be having our premiere in April. Now I don't know when we're going to have
it. So you're looking for a fall premiere? Is that what we're looking at?
2025, we'll be looking at a premiere.
So I'm going to end the show on one other not so bright question, but not a stupid question.
Okay.
A colorist.
Mm-hmm.
How does one become a colorist?
No idea.
Do I look at your situation? Did you start like you coloring books earlier on in life? And you like, we always knew she had it in her type of situation. Like, how does that come
out? I have no idea.
Really?
Well,
do they work on every film and every show? Does every show have one?
A lot of them do. I don't have an answer to that. I would imagine that someone becomes a colorist by working in editing. Maybe they're like an editing PA or whatever. They work in editing and then they see like the job of a colorist and they're like, oh, that's my favorite part of editing. Maybe I'll just do that. I would imagine. That's how a lot of jobs in film get people do them, because you start working in the lower levels and you see what the different aspects are and you see what the different jobs are and you're like, oh, well, actually I really like this job, this aspect of this job. So I'm going to go into this field. I'm going to be a key grip or I'm going to be whatever X, Y, and Z.
Do you find that there's a lot of actors in those roles, or do these people tend to be like more technical roles? And that was like their trajectory to begin with.
Yeah. There's a couple actors that are PAs. I work with another PA named Agnes and she's like she's a really good actress. But once you get to like a more specific area, most people aren't actors.
Okay.
It's really niche. Cause a PA can kind of be anything. A PA can kind of be like, well, what do you want to do? Cause nobody wants to be a set deck PA. You want to be X, Y, and Z. Once you get into like the higher positions, most people don't want to be actors.
Okay. So we will be seeing Rachel's debut show. Do you say 2025, right? Fall of 2025. Is that what we're looking for?
Might be spring.
Spring at the earliest. This is the Rachel from New York in ATL show with Reg. coming to you live from Atlanta. Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Play, and iTunes.
Guys, the Jonas Brothers are back, and so am I.
Oh my, because this is the end of there.